At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Because I got a little secret to tell y'all what had happened when I was away on my hiatus. So I'm going to sing a song and maybe y'all can like figure it out. Big Glow said, it's 7 p.m. Friday. It's 95 degrees. Maybe I can't say that line because maybe I might have one of them, you know? Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. And how are y'all doing this week? I'm not finna lie to you. It took everything in me to record today. I literally had to pump myself up, okay? The thing about taking a break is like, yeah, you're taking a break because you need to recoup, but at the same time, you have to relearn the discipline you had prior to said break. So I'm in my relearning my discipline stage. Oh, Jesus, because Lord knows I'm tired. I am tired. But also I realized today that like I really put too much on my own plate. So I have to learn how to pace myself because I am a time maximizer, but like it's not good. Like literally, if I have an hour to do something, I will squeeze out every second of that hour. Like won't even try to say, you know what, maybe you should just rest for that hour. No, things can be done. So I'm learning how to cut myself some slack and just slow down like Bobby Valentino. So if you guys are like me and you do the most or you schedule the most in your day, chill out. For example, I bought a bookshelf. So right now I'm in the midst of decorating my apartment. I'm probably not going to be done until like October because I'm not good at decor. I suck. Like, I'm very creative, but I suck at home decor. So one of my close friends is an interior designer, so she's helping me. And she got a furniture list, all of this stuff, right? So I'm gradually buying things because I don't want to, like, break myself or rush. So I should be done by the end of September, hopefully. But just buying, like, the big furniture and, you know, things like that. And then we're going to buy the, like, wall decor last. So right now I'm trying to organize because when you live in a place for 10 years, you accumulate so much stuff. So right now I'm trying to organize, declutter, purge. And I needed a bookshelf yesterday to build. Well, as soon as I got it from Target, they're like, you need a hammer and a drill. Who got a hammer and a drill? I don't. Okay. Need me a man. Okay. Man. Do come hammer things. Okay. But one of my close friends has... she has all that because she's a homeowner because, I mean, that's what you got to do. You're a homeowner. So I went over there to get it. But that meant that yesterday I could not build this bookshelf. So I had to meal prep yesterday as well. And I really was cooking 3 meals at once because I was meal prepping for the week for myself. My dog, I cook his food because he's sickly. So, and it's healthier for you to cook your dog's food. So I cook him like ground turkey, rice, broccoli, put it together. And I was cooking dinner. So I was cooking 3 meals at once. I had to go grocery shopping. I had to go to Target. Like, I'm doing the most. And I'm trying to do this all in, like, one day. And then today, after I got off, I'm like, I'm going to start the I'm going to do the podcast. And then I'm going to build a bookcase or start building it. And I'm like, girl, who are you kidding? It's going to drain you just to record the podcast. And then you still got to do stuff and cook yourself dinner and do other stuff. Girl, sit out. And then today has drained you at work. You ain't got to do all that, honey. Save it for another day. Okay? The time will come. But yeah, in this season of me just really leaning into God more, I'm just recognizing things in myself in ways where I can be at my peak and not like overwork myself and just give myself grace. So give yourself grace. All right. So this week, I'm going to talk about failing forward. Now, the talk of the town right now is the Cam Newton interview. I already posted on my story. I mean, I already posted on my IG and my TikTok about it if y'all want to know. I had 1 cent because I could only get through like 15 minutes, and I told y'all why. But I ain't gonna be able to do it. I'm also in a season where if the content does not help me stay hopeful in my pursuit, not even my pursuit, in my prayer in a husband finding me or us finding each other, I don't want to hear it. I just get so... I don't want to be triggered by content. I don't want to be discouraged by content. Like, if the content discourages my goals, why am I listening to it? Why am I watching it? So I'll be retraining my algorithms. Like, I've listened to other people talk about the interview. That's not triggering, but listening to the interview and seeing him talk about certain stuff, I'm like, I'm good, love. I'm straight. So I didn't watch it. Yeah, go see my 1 cent. I'm not finna do it. All right, but let's get down to the nitty gritty. Today I want to talk about fail forward. And the reason I want to talk about fail forward is because I got a little secret to tell y'all what had happened when I was away on my hiatus. So I'm gonna sing a song and maybe y'all can like figure it out. Big Glow said, it's 7 p.m. Friday. It's 95 degrees. Maybe I can't say that line because maybe I might have one of them, you know? Keep on listening and I'm gonna let you know the tea. All right, yes. So while I was away, your girl had got into a relationship. Relationship, just short for relationship. Yes, I'm going to keep it cute. It was basically a friend turned boyfriend. We have been friends since 2021. He had already kind of expressed interest early on, but at the time he expressed interest, I told him, like, I'm not really looking for nothing right now, which I wasn't. I really wasn't dating. He was like, all right, cool. And I love how he handled the rejection, because you can tell a lot about a man by how he handles rejection, okay? Okay. That was old school, showing my age. Anyway, so he didn't treat me no different. We still hung out. Like, we would just, he would hit me up and be like, hey, what you doing on this day? And if I was free, I'd be like, I'm free. And we go out. He always took me to nice spots because he's bougie. So if I'm going with him, it's like bougie, and he paid for everything every time. It was a good time. So come this year, we started to have more vulnerable conversations. And in those vulnerable conversations, I started to become more attracted to him. And yeah. And so I confessed my emotions to him in like March or April, I think. And when I confessed it, I felt like he kind of played me to the left, because he was like, yeah, you know, I've always been interested in you. And that night we actually kissed. And he was like, let's see where it goes. Let's see if we can make this thing work. And I'm like, all right, cool. Well, nothing happened after that. Like, we never had the conversation again. We didn't increase in communication. Like, nothing happened. So I felt a little played, but like, because he handled his rejection well, I was gonna handle mine well. So I didn't say nothing. So we were still hanging out, like nothing happened, and that just was that. Cool, boom. So May comes around. About this time, I told y'all, I was on dating apps. I was outside. So I was dating people. It wasn't nothing serious. I hadn't met nobody that I actually liked. But I was outside, baby. So when he would hit me up and ask me to do stuff, it was a lot of times where I couldn't because I was entertaining other people. So at one point, he was like, hey, like, I don't know what's going on with you, but the next time I ask you to see you, like, I better see you. And I'm just like, oh, say you miss me without saying you miss me. That's what it sounds like. He's like, all right, I miss you. And I'm like, oh, that's new. So this was May, like I said, and he had to go out of town. He's really busy. I'm busy too. He's busier than me though. So whatever. And I told him, like, well, my annual birthday dinner. So every year I go out of town for my birthday. But before I go out of town, I have a lot of friends in Atlanta. So I always have like my annual birthday dinner. So I said, you could be my date for my annual birthday dinner. And he's like, all right, cool. I would love to. So he comes to my birthday dinner. Mind you, every time we go out, we never hold hands. We had never kissed, like none of that. We didn't kiss until I confessed my emotions to him in April. Prior to that, from the 2021 to 2024 of March, baby, there was nothing. Like, no hand holding, no all up on me, no, like, nothing. Literally a platonic friendship, right? So when we had my birthday dinner, he pulled up. I told him I'm requesting flowers. That's all I asked for. But he pulled up with flowers, a teddy bear, and balloons. Like, happy birthday. All right, cool. So some of my friends knew him just from all of us kind of hanging out, like, at different events. He'd invite me to, like, oh, come to my homie's birthday party or come to my homie's New Year's Eve party. So a few of my friends knew him. So they saw him interacting with me, and he was, like, being touchy-feely. Like, he was holding my hand. He put his hand on my thigh. And I was just going with it because I'm like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. I'm going to just let it flow. So after, like, the dinner, some of us went to, like, another spot. But a few of them who knew him, like, what's going on with y'all? And I'm like, So, I'm just going with the flow. It's my birthday. I'm just chilling. I'm vibing. So we go to two different spots afterwards. He, you know, takes me home. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. The saints forgive me. I had to repent because I definitely got drunk. He was driving me because my best friend drove me there. And on my birthday, I don't be caring about who's going to pay for me. I don't know. I just know it's not me. I'm not finna Uber. I'm not paying for that. Somebody else drive me somewhere. And that's usually what happens. So I ended up, I don't even remember because I was wasted. I ended up going back to his place and I fell asleep. Passed out. Yep. Passed out in my, I think in my birthday dress. Yep. Uh-huh. Like at the foot of his bed. He was like, yeah, you was out. As soon as you walked in, you was gone. I said, yep, that tracks. Because that's me. I'm a sleepy person when I get to drinking too much. So went home the next day. Again, didn't think none of it, because if you're my male friend, of course you're gonna make sure that I'm safe. And that's what the issue was. He said I was so drunk that I could not remember my address. He's like, I was asking for your address so I can take you home, but you was like, you don't remember and you couldn't tell me how to get there. I'm like, yo, that is insane. What did I drink? It's probably because I think somebody slipped some reposado or something, and me and reposado don't get along. I'm a Blanco girl because Reposado makes me sick. Anyway, so after that, I noticed he started to text me every day. That wasn't something we did normally. So that next week, I was going out of town to Jamaica for my birthday. So fast forward, you know, he still texts me every day. Again, I'm not thinking nothing of it because we ain't talked about it. Like me, I'm big on communication. You got to tell me directly, because if you don't tell me directly, bro, I don't know what you got going on. So on my birthday, I'm sitting on the beach. We started talking. I bring up something in the conversation, whoop de whoop. And then all of a sudden he's like, Ashley, I want to be with you. I don't want to be with nobody else. You're talking about I'm too busy and all this other stuff. I'm trying to be with you. So I'm flabbergasted. I don't know what's going on. What? You trying to be with me? Okay. So this was like the third day of my trip, and I was on my trip for 6 days. So I'm halfway through my trip. So now in my mind, I'm going to be in a relationship when I get back, because I'm pretty much sold. Like, this is my friend. We vibe. We talked, so I feel safe with him. Cool. So we start discussing just like what we want in a relationship and just all of this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I really want a man of God. And he's like, girl, I go to church every Sunday. And I'm like, I didn't know you went to church every Sunday. He's like, yeah, I'm Catholic. I'm like, you Catholic? Does your Catholic believe in Jesus? Because some of them Catholics don't be believing in Jesus. He was like, yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. So, yeah, everything seemed cool. So out the gate, I get home. We go on our first, like, official day. Then we went to, like, a birthday party together. The next day, like, everything's vibing. And, like, we seeing each other, whatever. But I knew we were both busy and our schedules clashed. So, like, we had created, like, a plan on how to, like, see each other. And so I'm thinking everything was going to be good. Also, I needed a girlfriend proposal. Okay, ladies, I want you to understand something. If a man likes you enough, he will do it. So, because I had been single for 7 years, baby, let me tell you something. I need the full shebang. I need a girlfriend proposal. I need you to ask me. I need you to say, will you be my girlfriend? And I want it to be special. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. And it was. Like, He took me out to dinner. We went to two different spots, and he didn't know which restaurant he wanted to do it at, but he had a backup plan. He had everything going, and like he got the waiter in on it. We went to this really nice restaurant, and the waiter wrote it down with this beautiful handwriting and was like, "My life is so much better with you in it. Will you be my girlfriend?" It was so lovely and so beautiful. Great. So I'm saying that to say, because I am 35, right? And a lot of people, let me go back. When I was telling people about the situation, like, yeah, you know, he says we're together, but I'm still waiting on my girlfriend proposal. And he's like, it's going to happen, but he's waiting on it to be special, whatever, whatever. And I believed it because he said he was going to do it. So I'm like, he's a man of his word. He'll do it. But I had friends and associates low-key trying to like, and when I say associates, I mean like I do hair on the side as well. I'm a hustler. And so some of my clients were very close and my regular. So I would tell them about it. They were like, oh, Ash, you're tripping. We too old for girlfriend poses. Listen, if you want something, ask for it. Closed mouths don't get fed. So I had friends like, oh, that's doing a lot. And I'm like, it's probably doing a lot for you. It's not for me because I've been single 7 years. You have not. Okay. No. So I'm getting my girlfriend poses and I got it. So yeah. So then we started dating and, you know, we made the plan on what we would do to like keep this thing alive. Cause I know my love languages and baby, I can give you the blueprint on how to please me. Okay. And I'm not talking about in a sexual way because I'm still celibate, but I'm referring to like, how to speak my love language. I can tell you cause I know me and I know what I need. Anyway. So we're dating. And then like after that second week when I came home, everything basically crashed and burned. I don't even want to go into it, but we ended up breaking up last week. It was a mutual thing. We just realized that for me, I think we're incompatible because how we view relationships is very different. To him, he thinks it's because of his schedule and he thinks he's too busy to give me the things I want. I don't think it's that. I think it's more of a like internal things where he's working on being emotionally available and he attaches support to only monetary support and like mentally, logically, that's the only way he knows how to emote in any way. Like he doesn't know how to emote from heart. So he dated me from a head posture and there was no heart in it. And I didn't like that. He admitted that he didn't know how to do that. Like he didn't know how to stretch and show emotions. And I realized at the end, like, dang, this man is emotionally unavailable. That is insane. But I wasn't able to see that while we were friends because we were just friends and I didn't require as much from him. I'm only looking at how fancy his dates are because that's logic. Anybody can plan a nice date. If I ask you for a girlfriend proposal, that's logical. I do feel like he liked me. I just don't. Just because someone likes you a lot does not mean they know how to exhibit certain things, right? Like I remember back in the day when I was overcoming my anxious attachment style, like I really like people a lot, but at the same time, like I didn't know how to like people in a healthy way. So I would push them away. I would say things I didn't mean sometimes to get a reaction, like et cetera, because just because you like someone that does not, if you don't know how to do something, that doesn't, it's not going to force you into doing that just because you like somebody real bad. Right. So we ended. And the reason I named this Fail Forward was because, honestly, I wasn't sad about losing him because, honestly, he wasn't what I wanted. Like, I was very miserable for the month that we were. We were together technically for 2 months, but around that second month after my patients got real thin because I got tired of repeating myself, I was miserable. Like I didn't have any peace. And one thing about me is like, if I don't have peace about something, I cannot operate in it. I can't. And I'm not going to lie. Like God was working with me through it. I did learn something. I learned like I learned how to be patient in a relationship. I had never been in a relationship where I was actively forgiving someone within the relationship. Meaning like if they did something to me and it pissed me off, I would be passive aggressive. I would be petty. I wouldn't forgive it. But with this one, like when he did things that pissed me off, he would not know many times because God's like, you need to forgive that act. Because right now, the season you're in, you cannot walk around with unforgiveness in your heart. And we don't need you playing tit for tat because that's not the type of woman that you are. So I would forgive him, and I was able to like still be friendly with him, still support him. Like if he pissed me off on Tuesday night, by Wednesday morning, I'm being nice again. Like I'm not doing all that petty stuff. So that I realized was good. But honestly, I was not grieving him as a partner. I was grieving the fact that I had been single for 7 years and the relationship ended in 2 months. For me, that felt like failure. Now, a lot of people don't see it like that because my friends on the outside looking in was like, Ashley, you always amaze me how you're able to walk away from situations that you know won't work. Many women would have stayed in that relationship because they had been single for 7 years just to say, I have a man. But me, I can't. I refuse. I've been like, I know how to be over here. I loved being a girlfriend. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I loved it. I loved being called someone's. I'm not finna sit here and lie. Like, it felt good going out and not looking around the room like, dang, I hope somebody speak to me tonight, or I hope is any cuties. It felt good to just go out and be like, yeah, you know, I'm vibing. Not saying when I go out, I'm only going out to find or meet men, because I'm not. I'm saying that usually that's still a thought in my mind because I am single. So when I go out, I'm going to peep the scene at least once and see what's up. But it felt good being a girlfriend because I didn't have to do that, because Shantae got a man at home, you know what I mean? Like, so I was sad because of that. I cried, but I wasn't distraught. Like, it wasn't some like emotional turmoil, I'm going like crazy, I gotta just really sit in it. Like, no, it was really on some, it was very mature. Because we got into how we broke up was, we got into an argument on a Thursday. I had deleted everything because, baby, when I'm done, I'm done. And then on that Saturday, he texted me and was like, can we talk face to face? And I'm like, yeah. And when we talked, it was, you know, it was cool. And we haven't talked since. I think we both need a little space. But yeah, so I named this Fell For It because sometimes in life, certain things can feel like failures, and it can be certain areas where you feel like, dang, I never went in this area. And it can start to hinder you or make you feel bad or make you give up in that area. And I don't want you to. And I want to give, oh, sorry, y'all. I hiccuped out of nowhere, Chad. But I want to give y'all a few tips on how you can fail for it. I want to give you a few tips on like how I have learned to not see situations like this as like failures, but learning. Like, I turn all my L's into lessons each and every time. So the first thing you want to do is give yourself time to grieve and gain clarity. When you are in a situation, Pastor Stephen Furtick once said something that was the most amazing thing to me. He said, don't judge a season while you're in it. Meaning, when you're in a situation, don't judge it while you're in it, because you don't know the view of why you went through that until retrospect. The best view is the review. Like, looking back on something in your life and realizing, okay, dang, that's why I went through that. Dang, that's why I went through that. So you want to give yourself time to grieve. Me, I'm big on that. Like, I want to feel my emotions. And I've grown to do that because I have gone through a lot of suffering. I'm not going to sit here and lie like I have. And I've learned to be strong enough to just feel my feelings and not escape. I want to feel them because I want to take inventory in my body on like, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? Okay. After that, then I can learn and gain something from it. So you want to feel your feelings and gain clarity. So like I said, of course, I was upset because I just knew that relationship was going to last longer than 2 freaking months. Like, this was my homie. Like, we kicked it all the time. We've been kicking it since 2021. Like, I'm just knowing this going to last, but it didn't. And I'm not finna lie to y'all either. I prayed about it. In my last episode, I told y'all I had 3 prayers. That was the second prayer. The second, like, I got my apartment. And then the second prayer was, is this man my husband? And God said no. And it was very clear. And so I listened, I obeyed. I didn't try to force. I just realized it wasn't. And I think it is when you arrive at a place in life where you start picking better people in your life, it's a little bit harder to walk away because You're not walking away because this person's toxic or they did something wrong or they just tripping. You're walking away because you have a vision of the relationship you really want and you know what you need to be happy. And you realize that this person isn't going to be the one to provide it. And that is hard. That is maturity. Like, I can't even sit here and lie to you and tell you it's not. It is. So I had to realize that. That's why it was hard, because it's not like he's a bad dude. Like, this is a dude who, he makes six figures. I know y'all love to talk about that. He makes good money. He's very ambitious. He is very kind, very nice, goes to church every Sunday. Like, he is just a good person. Like, he is just a bad boyfriend. To me, he was a bad boyfriend to me, because I can't say that, because somebody else may have a completely different experience because they may not need the things that I need. You know what I mean? So I had to understand that and be okay with it. And I was. So that was the clarity that I gained. Like, he's not a bad person. It's way easier to leave somebody and be like, oh, that person toxic. I ain't need him in my life anyway. It was not like that. It was so mature. It was so mature. But that made me also realize, like, babe, you've grown. Ash, you've grown as a woman to be at a place where you picked well. It was a good pick, just not a God pick. And that's okay. Number two, I already said it. What lesson can you take from your losses? Like, and while you're gaining clarity, you know, be praying like, God, what lesson am I learning from this? I will say this. This is another lesson I learned. I said yes too quick. I said yes because I was so excited. I was so excited because I had told him that I wanted him early this year. And then I'm like, dang, I'm finally getting the guy that I said I wanted at the time. I still want him. Because you know that when you, me, I have an expiration on my want. If I tell you I want you in March, you ain't told me nothing about October, baby. I don't want you no more. Okay, I'm over it. I'm over it. It's expired. But I'm like, he's still in the time frame. I want him. This seems perfect. We get along. I'm thinking it. But honestly, if I'm really being honest with you, I did not sit with God long enough to get a real answer on that. I'm not even finna lie. I didn't. And that's a lesson that I learned that I'll discuss later, because I want to tell y'all what I'm doing moving forward with my husband. Three, watch your mouth. Don't speak negativity, speak opposite. It is very tempting when you are going through a negative situation, especially as Black people. We make jokes about it, right? We'll joke about it to hide the pain, to make ourselves feel better, when deep down it's like you still speaking negatively about yourself. Like, that's like me. I know back in the day, every time something in, I'd be like, see, I'm gonna die alone. I used to say that. And I don't speak like that no more. I don't do that. Like, it was very tempting to feel like, dang, I've been single for 7 years. I'm gonna be single for another 7 years. But I refused. It's like, nah, this is a minor setback to a major comeback. This just means I'm closer to my man, and I'd be, God dang, I'm single for another 7. That's going to make me 42. I'm not going to do that. Like, I ain't going to better do it. Mm-mm. God, we ain't doing it. You already know we're not doing it, God. You know what's up. Like, nah. But don't speak negative. Speak opposite. Like, literally, when you feel, you have to discipline yourself to encourage yourself. When you feel like everything's falling apart, you have to start telling yourself it's not. Even if it's delusion. Okay? Like, for me, when it tells you to meditate on scripture day and night, it's because you need scripture to pull on when you in certain seasons. In this season, I need it. I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him, because he will make my path straight. Baby, I did not understand. I still don't understand why we couldn't work, why it didn't last longer. But God said, don't lean on your own understanding. He also said, for all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. It's all going to work together in the end. It's all going to work together. Like, hello, it is. Ain't got no choice. Ain't got no choice. So you have to start learning how to do that. And even if you're not a Christian and you don't want to lean on no scripture, lean on some affirmations. I will end up. And my happily ever after is coming. I will find the love of my life. Start speaking encouragement into yourself. And last but not least, accept support from friends and unlikely sources. Sometimes we, in these seasons, if you're like me, you're quick to say, I know. You're the, I know friend. Meaning like when people try to offer you support, you tell them, you kind of brush it off like, oh, I know. When they're like, oh, feel better. It's okay. It's going to be good. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. No, accept, just accept it. Say thank you. I appreciate it. I receive that. Because when you're saying, I know, you're not listening. You're not allowing the support to seep into your system. Accept that support. Accept those people trying to encourage you. Because we be running on empty, but our default is strong. So we think we good, but we not. Accept that support. Accept that good job, friend. Accept that compliment, that like the compliment I got of, I'm proud of you because you're able to walk away from situations. Like, accept that because I needed to hear that. And even if you don't need to hear it at the moment, 2 weeks from now, you might need to hear it. So accept it. Receive, learn how to receive support. When you have been the strong person in your life for so long, when you have been your support system for so long, oftentimes you don't know how to accept support. Allow yourself to accept it and receive it because you're going to need it in seasons when you got to fail for it. All right. So moving forward with dating right now, y'all heard my story with my God blessing me with a luxury apartment. And with that story, God was rebuilding my trust because I did go through my wilderness where I felt like God was not listening to me. And I lost a lot of my trust because I'm like, God, if you are hearing me and you're this good God that you say you are, why are you leaving me in this space for so long? So now I'm in a transition season. Now I'm not going to lie to you. Before I came out of that dark season, I had to learn how to be grateful even in that season. So Ty Gilbert, he's one of my favorite. Oh my God. His album Encounter, ooh, has gotten me through. Lord have mercy. Ty Gilbert Encounter, he sings the song He Won't Fail. Whew, that album that got me through. But he also has a song called Lord You're Good. But he was talking about at the beginning of the song, he says, have you ever been in a season where everything is going wrong and you've prayed and prayed and asked God and nothing is moving and you feel like God has forgotten you? And then he said, one day I was sitting in the kitchen and I was asking God, like, why are you doing this to me, et cetera, et cetera. But then all of a sudden he just started praising God, like, Lord, you are good. You are better than, you've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. I had to learn how to praise in spite of my circumstances. And that is where it comes. Like, people think you get blessed and then praise. No, you praise, then you get blessed. That was the turnaround for me. When I learned that praising God is the key to unlocking God's blessings, I just started doing it. And it was contrary to what I was going through, right? So going through that season, getting out of it, ending up in this new place, and then next week I want to talk about why I went back to a 9-to-5, like getting to this space and where I'm going now, like it just built a different level of trust with God. And through that trust, it built a different level of communication. I communicate with God way more now. I used to be on a schedule with God where it was like, okay, I will wake up. Good morning, God. I'm praying, listening to sermons. I go to sleep. But we really weren't communicating throughout the day. Now we communicating throughout the day. Now when something pop in my mind, I think about praying for somebody, I'll do it right then. I used to leave it for like, oh, I'm going to pray for him tonight. No, do it right then. Do it right now. A decision in my mind, I'm like, I need to make this decision. I'll wait till later to do it. No, I'm going to pray about it right now. So what I had noticed was in my wait on my husband, there has always been a lot of me in it, meaning I have done a lot and not allowed God to do much. So I've been trying to speed this process up. So I be steady trying to help God. I was listening to, y'all gonna hear me, I listen to a lot of sermons, like a whole lot of sermons, because I listen to them. I go to the gym 4 to 5 times a week and I'm listening to sermons every day. So Pastor Mike Jr. is a pastor in, I don't know the name of his church. That's so sad. But he's great. He's a gospel singer as well. He sings like a lot of like good gospel songs. But He said, a lot of people say God is my co-pilot. Nah, God my Uber. God is driving this thing. I'm in the backseat. So that's where I'm at right now in my dating life. So what I realized was there was a lot of stuff that I was not surrendering over when it came to my dating. For example, like yesterday somebody hit on me and I took their phone number because they was like, oh, can you take my number? I'm like, yeah. But before I text them, God was like, pray about that. And I realized, like, dang, I've never prayed before texting somebody ever in my life. That is crazy. Like, I'll pray when we start dating, but I never prayed about just the decision to text that person. That's major. God wants to be a part of all of this. And then I would do little stuff like, say, like, I'll see somebody's story and that dude, like, fine. And I'll say a little flirtatious something just to kind of see, like, what he gonna say back. And like, now I'm not in that season. I'm in a season like, nope, sit on your hands. Because God, your Uber. Sit on your hands. So this week, honestly, I'm just seeing like all the things that I kept doing that was taking God out of the driver's seat of my love life and putting me there. So now I'm really just sitting back. I'm off it. I'm praying every day for a divine encounter with him. I'm praying every day to be prepared when he comes. Like, that's just where I'm at. And no, it's not easy. But at the same time, I think looking back at what he did with this apartment and trusting that if God did that, he can bring my husband as well. And I don't have to keep touching stuff. I'm good. Now, I hope I stay good for a while. At least until this man comes. But honestly, in my spirit, deep down, I don't think I'm going to be waiting that long. I really don't. Like, there's something in me. There's like this knowing, like, nah, it's coming faster than you think it is. Like, it's about on the way, honestly. And I've never felt this confident about that. Because usually after I get out of situationships, not even in actual relationships, I be negative Nancy. But I'm not. I'm very like, okay, that was an experience. I'm glad I had it because I probably would have always thought, what if? Let's move on. Let's get ready for the real thing. That wasn't a real thing. Let's get ready for the real thing. You ready, baby? In that relationship, you realize you have a servant mind. Like, I was like, dang, you kind of a little servant mind over here. Okay, you good. Okay, girl. Look at you forgiving him. Oh, girl, you did that. Like, yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm also excited to adjust the strategy because this is a new strategy. This praying, surrendering 100% of this love thing over to God, this is a new strategy because for a long time I didn't trust him with my love life because I'm like, you made me single for this long. Why would I trust you with my love life? I feel like you want me to be single at this point. Why would you do it? But now it's just that trust is different. And I just, every day I'm praying about it. When I feel like those negative thoughts coming up, I'm reciting scripture out loud. I'm saying a prayer. I'm like, when I get horny, because baby, after 35, y'all, when they say your sex drive go to increasing it too, I be horny. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I be like, ooh, cast down my flesh right now. Especially around that period. Jesus, help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It'd be hard, but I'm capable. So that is where I am. I hope I have helped somebody today learn how to fail forward because that's what it's all about. But all right, y'all, until next time, bye.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.